Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. State Representative Jeannie Ives wants to be the next governor of Illinois. The lawmaker who serves the Wheaton area is challenging Governor Bruce Rauner in the March primary, contending that Mr. Rauner has turned his back on fiscal and social conservatives and that corruption in Illinois has largely gone unchecked. Representative Ives was recently interviewed by Chicago Tribune columnist John Cass for his Chicago Way podcast, which can be found at WGNRadio.com. Here's that interview.
Hello, everybody. This is the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Did you see the story about the tourists?
What, Jeff Carlin? I have not seen the story of the tourists. This is John Cass, the Chicago Way, with Jeff Carlin. Not with, because that's a radio thing, like you're right. Like the junior partner. You're the guy who started this damn thing. A few months ago, I wrote a column about a man who was shooting himself in the foot. Actually, he shot both of his feet off, and he's running for governor again. And this candidate who comes on the horizon challenging him, Bruce Rauner, has basically, I think, totally tubed his candidacy by supporting sanctuary cities and abortion on demand, killing his base. And Jeannie Ives of Wheaton, State Senator Jeannie Ives.
State Rep.
I'm sorry, State Rep. Yep. You can leave that. You don't have to cut it out. I screwed it up. I own my mistakes. State Rep Jeannie Ives, who's been, how long have you been in office now?
So I'm a three-term state rep. I've been there 5 years. I've got another year left.
Another year left, and you're running?
But I'm running for governor, so I'm giving up a safe seat in nice Wheaton, where I represent really great people, and I've enjoyed the job, by the way. I've really enjoyed taking my views and my constituents' views to Springfield and arguing on behalf of them. I thoroughly enjoy that. But you know what? I can't stay there anymore under the current circumstances when we have got a failed governor on our side who needs to be taken out.
Now, you held a news conference last week about Sanctuary City, and you were with
Brian McCann,
the brother
yes.
of a guy I wrote about years ago, Dennis McCann, who was walking across the street, I think Logan Boulevard, killed by a drunk driver who was an illegal immigrant and was basically set free.
Yep, right around the holiday time, he was set free because nobody was notified. ICE wasn't notified in time to pick him up. And that's essentially the law that was the sanctuary state city law that was Chicago at that time. Well, that same process has now been extended to all of the state under Governor Rauner's signature. So he's made the entire state less safe. All the people are less safe because this can happen in any community at any time where illegal is charged with a serious crime like that. He bonds out. And if you don't have a warrant on him, he's out of there and gone before justice can be served.
Does it make it less safe, State Rep Ives, or is it more of an affront to people who think that a sovereign nation, the people of that nation, get to make their own immigration policy?
Well, it's a combination. We are less safe today, and we are violating federal immigration law. When we fail to send over to ICE people that are known illegal immigrants, they've broken the law to get in here. It's not up to us to determine the outcome of whether or not they get deported. It's up to ICE and the federal agents to determine if they get deported. But it's also made us less safe. I mean, the reason we had the press conference, because it came in the wake of the Kate Steinle verdict that acquitted the man who shot the gun and whose bullet then killed her.
Right.
And so it makes you less safe.
And he walked.
He walked, too.
He walked on murder and manslaughter charges.
That's right. But the thing about him is that he should have been deported once again after his 5 deportations, and they didn't do that. And so it's less safe when you don't hand people like that who have a criminal record, which also the man who killed Dennis McCann had a criminal record.
Chavez.
Yeah, that's right. So he should have been deported as well and sent over to ICE without bonding out. So it made everybody less safe.
What is that about? This desire by politicians to change or thwart federal immigration law. Why is this happening?
It's only got to be for political reasons. They are pandering to a constituency where they think they can pick up votes. I mean, there's absolutely no other reason that would occur. So, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, the executive is in charge of enforcing the laws, and the governor is the executive of the state of Illinois. You should be enforcing the laws, and that includes compliance with federal laws. So they're pandering because they want the votes. They don't want unrest. They don't like their names, they don't like being called a racist or whatever you have it.
You can call me whatever you want because I don't care. I'm not changing.
That's right.
But Rauner to do this was stunning to me. I could not believe it. I mean, I called him up after and I just couldn't. I had heard McCann said he's going to sign it. He's going to sign Sanctuary City. I said, no way.
Well,
I mean, you don't do that if you're running in a Republican campaign. You can't do that politically.
He actually thinks it picks up votes for him, apparently. I think it's a terrible. I think even Democrats understand the rule of law. People rather be judged by the rules of law instead of the rules of a man and the haphazard enforcement of laws. I think everybody wants to be safe in the city. I don't care what your political stripe is. But the worst thing about it is Governor Rauner, he basically lied to Brett Baer on that interview he did when Brett Baer was asking him repeatedly, are you going to sign Sanctuary State? Are you going to sign it? He would not say yes or no. And then 2.5 weeks later, he does sign it after having had the bill for over 2 months. He knew what he was going to do. He didn't want to admit on nationwide TV that he was going to pander to the political left and sign something like Sanctuary State, which actually has not been signed into law by a governor since, I think, 1977 prior to that. And then quickly afterwards, California, of course, does its own version of it.
We're speaking to Gene Ives, state rep from Wheaton, conservative, Republican. She's running against Bruce Rauner in the Illinois Republican primary. First, we have to know something about you. People do know. You're a West Point graduate. You're a former officer in the United States Army. And you're married to a former officer in the United States Army, also a West Point grad. Mm-hmm. And you have how many kids?
I have 5 children.
5 children. Mm-hmm. And how many are still at home, or are they all?
So the oldest, Matt, is up in Alaska. He's an Army infantry officer, and he's got a Ranger tab. So we're very proud of him. And then our second son, Nick, is actually a West Point graduate, too. But the contrarian that he is, he cross-commissioned to the Navy.
He wants to fly?
Yes. So he is down in Corpus Christi getting his, certified to fly for the Navy. He still roots for the Army, though, in the Army-Navy game, which is the right thing to do. And then I've got a son, Andrew. He's at Ole Miss studying accounting. I've got a junior in high school. Who's a big sports guy. And then I've got an 8th grade daughter at St. Michael's.
So the daughter's the baby.
Yep.
So
4
Paul
boys.
Is your husband,
yes.
Right? So Paul will have somebody to bring a glass of water to him when he's an old man. Here's the question, though, and I was thinking about this. I was talking this over with the guys. I had to ask you one of those personal things.
Sure.
When your kids had to make their beds, did you bounce the quarter off the bed? I mean, what kind of a, or were there, or did you let them have messy bedrooms like every other teenager?
Yeah,
or
they had messy bedrooms.
Were you like, you will police the area?
No, I mean, I gave up a lot of that type of discipline when I became a mother because you just can't keep up with it. But they're disciplined in all sorts of other ways. So we teach our kids to be to respect their teachers and adults. We teach them to be coachable. I think it's super important. You got to be coachable if you want to actually succeed. You know, we're on them about their grades, but we don't do their homework for them. But otherwise, you know, we're typical parents.
So you didn't answer my question. Did you bounce the quarter off the bed?
No.
Mitered corners?
No, but I still make my bed that way, though.
Mitered corners? Oh, yeah. That's how you run a household.
Yep.
I just turn it over. I press 3, right? I turn it over to Betty. Betty does everything on that score.
That's probably smart.
Yeah, I am very smart in that regard. I don't know if you have met our other guest, Scott Stanis.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, there he is. Scott
Stanis. The cartoonist.
You made your premiere in my cartoons this week.
That's right.
I'm hoping you're in there a lot.
Did she ask
in the next 4 years.
Whoa, Scott.
Well,
he pays attention. He pays attention to what's going on.
Am I right? We have a conservative running, a conservative Republican in the state of Illinois. Good Lord. I think the three of them in the state are right here, right now.
There's three. Yeah, there's a couple. There's another one downstairs on 4. She's hiding right now.
Yes.
That's about it.
She says she
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think in this building, certainly, yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't want to give you too much material, but, you know, we hope that you keep it up.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited by this. Your campaign. I really, really am.
How do you defeat Rauner, who's got, I don't know, how many hundreds of millions of dollars? How do you defeat that?
Oh, we're already defeating him. Look, I just did a downstate's tour, and nobody is voting for that man that I talked to. And I've talked to movers and shakers in the Republican Party. Downstate, they're very upset with him. And so we're already defeating him. We've done some polling. He's extremely vulnerable. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You cannot buy back trust after betrayal. And he has betrayed our party, our values. And quite frankly, he's betrayed even Democrats who voted for him. He promised a conservative reform agenda on the fiscal side and that he'd stay off of social issues. The only thing he got across really was his social agenda, which is extreme,
and
left.
To the left.
Right, exactly. And then he did a bunch of crony bailouts. So on the fiscal side, he's got nothing to hang his hat on either. You know, the crony bailout of Exelon on the backs of ratepayers in our state, when we actually push energy to the surrounding states. Well, we're just subsidizing now energy in other states. That was a total bailout bill. That he didn't have to do. Obviously he bailed out Chicago Public Schools.
How
on the
so?
Basis.
Explain
well,
that
education bill. What a disaster. You know, one week he's saying that it's a terrible bill. The next week he's signing it. And the reason you know that we got all screwed was Rahm Emanuel said we got everything we wanted and more after the signing of that bill. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. I mean, here's his buddy, Rahm. He's bailing them out. And then you look at the Jason Grotto series of articles about the assessment process. And now you even got Kennedy, who I agree with, saying burials needs to go. Yeah, well, I've been saying that for 3 years to begin with. But he does need to go. And so the foundation of the education formula is how much property wealth you have. And Chicago is hiding its wealth. And so they should be a tier 4 school, not a tier 1 school. So they should be among the most able to provide education, not the least. And the entire bill does the opposite.
Your argument is that Chicago hides its wealth to use that for downtown big shot real estate developers and pay off those TIFs that way. And the average bungalow, either in the city or throughout the state.
Yeah.
The average homeowner gets nailed and loses incredible amounts of equity in their home because property taxes keep going up. I'm sorry. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. But it's not just me saying it. And honestly, I have been on the forefront of this issue for 3 years and spoke about it on the House floor repeatedly. You know, you had the Willis Tower sell for over $1 million. It's on the books for you know, 50% of that cost. Well, what's going on there? You've got $6 billion hidden in TIFs. And then Rahm Emanuel wants to talk about the $10 billion in new development coming online. Well, all that's going to be hidden from the education formula, too. So taxpayers statewide get taken advantage of.
Well, but to be fair, mm-hmm. you can still go to Mike Madigan or Ed Burke and get your assessment changed. So there's that.
That was the story. That's
well,
the story
if you're wealthy enough
tribute.
To do that.
Right.
Yeah. If,
right.
Yeah. But it's poor minority homeowners that are getting hammered in the city of Chicago.
So why do they keep voting Democrat in the suburbs?
I don't know. We're going to change that. We're going to change that.
Why have they? I mean, they're getting killed with taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's like an SEIU household or something.
Sure.
Or it's a union baby household. And everybody – and I'm not talking about the carpenters and the pipe fitters and guys that I know that aren't like – Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm talking about the public workers unions. If you're in that, I can understand you like the deal because you want to keep the Ponzi scheme going as long as possible. But if you're anyone else, how do you vote Democrat in this state? Because you know that Mike Madigan will be the boss of it.
Well, because you've been lied to. You know, they lie to you at your doorstep. You get all these state reps and, oh, I'm pro-business. I'm all about business. Every single Democrat who has a voting record longer than a year has been voted by business groups. And every single Democrat has a failing grade with business. Now, why don't people know that? And yet they go to these Chamber of Commerce meetings and say, oh, yeah, well, we lowered your LLC fees by $100. Big deal. Doesn't matter. That, you know, that's what's frustrating is that it takes a lot of effort to actually inform people about the votes.
That sounds like almost a very polite and diplomatic indictment of the media.
You think?
Almost.
No.
I would say.
Well, no. You guys have a role in it, and so thank you for having me on.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we don't want to get into that whole, you know, turning over rocks because you never know what you'll find under those rocks, right?
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. John Cass will continue his interview with Republican gubernatorial candidate Jeannie Ives after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. State Representative Jeannie Ives is campaigning for governor. She recently joined Chicago Tribune columnist John Cass for his Chicago Way podcast that can be found at WGNradio.com.
With Madigan's complete control over the of Springfield, and in this I kind of agree with Rauner on, he's been able to control the agenda in terms of news, right? Isn't he? I'm not talking about controlling media, but isn't he able to the pace and the way the narrative and the way stories come out and who gets what tip and all that? Isn't that right out of that?
I would say some of the media has done a good job exposing Madigan and his games, and I think he's got a 13% approval rating, so most people don't like Madigan. I think that there's that animosity towards him by media, constituents, and everything. They just don't know how to get him out, right? They don't know how.
How do you get him out?
Well, you have to go to the people who put him in, vote him in as speaker. So you have to go to their members. And then you have to put the pressure on the individual voters so that they know that their members are voting for a guy who's been scamming the system for so long. But, you know, look, as far as Rauner's, I'm not in charge. That is an outrageous statement for
why?
A governor to make.
Thank
no,
you.
It's not outrageous. It's just outrageous.
No, John doesn't believe that.
You're on the battlefield and the general says, well, I'm not in charge here. Really? Okay, then you know what? Put yourself in the rear. You know, go.
It was Paths of Glory.
You know, get behind me because I'm going to lead the charge. If you're not going to be in charge, well, let me lead the charge then. Will you please? and I'll do that. But, you know, it's obvious that he's not in charge because he hasn't taken on core issues that are important to Illinoisans. And he hasn't, you know, he's failed to message past, you know, continuously and relentlessly message about what needs to happen and message past the politicians. You can't sit down there and have a personal feud with Madigan. You got to go to the people and let them know in every single small town what has to happen.
So how would you?
It's exactly what I would do. I would do that plus more. Plus, I'd lead on the issues that you can as an executive. Look, he hasn't taken on public corruption. I mean, are you guys outraged or not? $600,000 to the NIU president who was caught violating our procurement laws, who an OEIG report said that he has mismanaged Northern Illinois University, who got caught by the Auditor General violating our FOIA laws, and he gets a $600,000 severance payment instead of being in handcuffs. What's going on? Rauner controls that board. He has he appointed four members to that board. He controls it. He's not said one word on it. He's not taken his board members to task, at least not publicly that I know of. And he allowed the decision to go forward after they had to revote because they violated Open Meetings Act. I mean, give me a break.
You know what these Sicilians say?
What?
Silence is consent.
That's right. That's a good point. I'm going to use that one. Can I borrow that?
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
I don't have the exact Italian phrasing, but
no,
I'll
and you
call
need a pinky ring when you say
I'll call Raphael. No, it's not pinky ring. I'll call Raphael, and he'll tell. But yeah, I mean, when you're quiet on something,
that's right.
Right, Scott?
Absolutely. So, and that's the thing about Rauner, which I mean, I couldn't agree with the representative more, is that he's been a massive disappointment. The editorial board for the Chicago Tribune endorsed him. We supported him. We were actually pretty excited about having someone who seemed to be out of the mainstream and said all the right things. But what a train wreck. I mean, it just has been a catastrophe. And a massive, as you mentioned, as a Republican, as a conservative, it's been an even more egregious disappointment. So,
yeah, he's failed on the policy front, too. You know, that education bill is, you know, case in point. He let his secretary Purvis get way above out in front of her skis without knowing the details of the legislation, and they couldn't pull it back then.
Well, what about the budget deal also?
Yeah, he left the battlefield. He just stopped arguing about the budget. In fact, he proposed a budget that was larger than the one that was actually passed by the Democrats. And, you know, he never proposed a balanced budget either. He would never actually go out and say, well, I want $5 billion more in tax increases. Instead, he just let it happen.
And the pension plan, mm-hmm. the pension debacle still festers.
It still festers. Then he came up with a marginal hybrid reform and then gave no start date for where it had to be implemented by. So that was a disaster. And then we've had a trailer bill on that already. I mean, and they counted $500 million in savings on a bill that they never gave a start date to. And put it in the budget to make it balanced. I mean, it was just a charade, and yet nobody called it out because in the end, he just needed something done because he failed to lead earlier.
At first, I thought when his, you know, the first year or so, I thought it was a staff problem. I thought that he was, I don't know, overwhelmed by political insiders who...
Or his wife.
All right, let's go. Let's go there. You open the door. You open the door. Let's go. What do you mean?
Well, prior to him signing the House Bill 40, which is taxpayer funding of abortion, it was a very small set of people in that final meeting with Republicans. I wasn't one of them, by the way. Mm-hmm. But before he started the meeting, he had his wife come in.
Wow. So when I write a column, Betty should be... editing it for me?
Look, my husband's going to be out trying to, you know, hunt deer or something when right. I'm in office. We will not have this problem or tending his garden.
You will be up, yeah, right.
But
you'll send him on a diplomatic mission to Utah.
Right.
So, okay, Diana Rauner did get involved in the policy side, and he moved far to the left.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how does he recover politically?
We're going to make sure that he doesn't recover politically.
I'm not asking you to give him tips.
Here's the roadmap.
You're really teeing him up for me today, John.
I'm just thinking.
How does he beat Gene Ives? Tell us right now.
Well, what the question is not whether Gene Ives can beat Rauner in the primary, because that really is up to the base of the Republican Party, and I don't know if he has that base. And that's just, I've said it, right? Haven't I written that before?
That's right.
And his, and I understand what he's trying to do. I'm not in charge. Madigan's in charge. He's running against Madigan, which
again.
Well, I was crusading against Madigan before he became governor.
Sure.
But I don't know if that's enough to do it that way.
No, it's not. I mean, his whole goal here is to try and ignore me, but we will not be ignored, and we're not being ignored, quite frankly. We've done press every single day, multiple times throughout the state. We're getting a really warm reception. You can't beat a candidate like me because the base is with me. And if your base is not with you, you're not going to win, which is why we even took on this challenge. We knew Rauner's base left him not just in the primary, but in the general election. House Bill 40 was the straw that broke the camel's back. Down south, it's sanctuary state and taxpayer funding of abortion. Horrible, politically charged bills that he did not have to sign. Look, the Democrats, even when they had full control and could have done anything they wanted on any single issue, they never did an education funding bill that was garbage. They never did a tax on crisis pregnancy centers by making pro-life pregnancy centers refer for abortion. They never did junk science on transgender. They never did taxpayer funding abortion. They never did sanctuaries. They never did any of this. Rauner did it by his pen. And for that, people want him gone, and that's why I'm in this race.
Let me ask you this real quick. John has written on forever about the
not forever. Since 1872.
Right after the fire, right?
Right.
Ulysses S. Grant was president. How's the party, the regulars, the entrenched, how are they reacting to this, to your candidacy? Because you are running against, an incumbent GOP governor. How are they? Have you heard, inside baseball, outside baseball? What's the reaction been?
It's a little bit mixed. You've got some party elites that obviously are for Rauner,
and they've done great by the Republican Party in this state.
Oh yeah.
Oh wait.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. They've had a lot of success running against Madigan, haven't they? Hasn't worked
so
far.
It's hard because he's their lawyer on their real estate.
Yeah. Well, that is true.
So it's hard.
It's the classic John Cass combine.
Right. Yeah.
We know it. Yeah, there's definitely people that are with Rauner, but I'll tell you what, down south, I met with, you know, nine county chairmen. I'm talking south. I was in Vienna. That's not Vienna. It's Vienna down there. And, had a great conversation with those men.
What were you talking about? Brought them over to my side. I'd love to be able to put a salt lick out here off my porch and shoot my deer without having to walk.
That's exactly. That's the other part of Illinois. That's why we chose Rich Morthland for our lieutenant governor. He's a farmer, community college professor, Rock Island County, which is borders Iowa. So they see the out-migration all the time, right?
Right.
And so we actually are very concerned about the forgotten parts of Illinois. We are not just the suburbs in Chicago. That's why Rich is important to this campaign, because the Democrats that are headquartered in Chicago and make all the rules up in Springfield have forgotten the rest of the state, and we haven't. And so we're resonating with them.
Well, Rauner's argument's going to be, and it already is, that primary aside, Pritzker is going to be the candidate for the Democrats. And Jeannie Ives doesn't have the money or cannot stand up to Pritzker in that ginormous machine, political machine.
Gosh. I got a story for you.
Okay.
You're going to find this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, these mythological figureheads that are just big, money bags for other big money bags, for example, Pritzker donating to Blagojevich, Madigan donating to Pritzker to get Pritzker's money back for Madigan's ranks. I mean, everybody's onto this charade, right? Nobody is signing up for any of the Democrats' more spending, more taxes plan in this state, as far as I see it. And that includes practical Chicagoans. But, J.B. Pritzker's wife actually spent part of her childhood in my hometown of Vermilion, South Dakota. In fact, her parents still live in Vermilion, South Dakota, and attend at least the same church that I got confirmed in, married in, and First Communion. So it's kind of an interesting turn of events. And I like to tell people, look, practical Midwesterners do not pull the toilets out of their second mansion to get $250,000 property tax break. I mean, that's not how J.B. Pritzker's wife grew up. She's probably a practical Midwesterner. But that's how J.B. grew up, you know, ridiculing our laws and doing shenanigans like that. Now we think that that message resonates. We think people are on to these people, and nobody wants a plutocrat in charge of state government, especially one connected to Madigan. So I like to tell that story because I think it says a lot about this state. This state is really, at its base, practical people to some degree, and they're tired of the politics.
Well, let me ask you if I could get into tall weeds. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Okay, just real quick, because you keep talking about downstate, and you're absolutely right. Recent study, you know, employment studies, job growth outside of Chicago and its suburbs was zero. I'm not making this number up. 0.2. Well, it's actually 1.8%. I mean, that's zero job growth. How do you turn that around? How do you get businesses to come to Cairo or to any place downstate?
Yeah, well, look, we know 86,000 people left the state of Illinois last year, and with them $5 billion in company. And we had this discussion with the downstate folks. And the way you do it is that you win the argument about the reform that has to happen. And you attract those people. At some point, the Democrats have to pay attention to how the economy has been decimated under their policies, because we can't continue this way. And so we're going to have a serious conversation to bring those jobs back to the state of Illinois. Look, we're sitting on the master resource of energy. There's no reason we should not be attractive to all sorts of manufacturing. And the Democrats, I mean, I think the game is really getting close to being up, because they have this balloon payment on pensions they can't afford. The only way you afford this is to restructure some of this stuff and to grow the economy. So we're going to have a hard conversation about leading the state out of the morass. And then we have to look at where we have opportunities down there to enhance infrastructure and attract businesses. I think that we can do that. I think that there's ways to do that.
And one last question. Do you promise not, if as governor, do you promise not to drop your G's?
I hope your I'm not doing that already.
Sold.
Okay, good.
You go up against, so if you defeat Rauner, you're going to go up against Pritzker.
We've already nationalized this race. The National Review article.
Oh, worst governor.
Worst Republican governor in America. This race is going to very quickly get nationalized, especially after we beat Rauner on March 20th.
And then they're going to, Pritzker's going to drop, and the Democrats are going to drop the social justice warrior intolerance card on you.
That's fine.
Your vulnerability with that constituency is comments you made with respect to homosexuals, saying that you didn't like the lifestyle, et cetera.
That's not true. My comments were related to same-sex marriage only, because a child has a natural right to know both mother and father. And oh, by the way, that's the same. Traditional marriage is the same position the governor or President Obama held up until 2012. Mm-hmm. So I still hold that position, and I don't care to regulate in any way adult consensual sexual relationships, but I will be there to defend children.
And okay, we'll bake that cake at another time.
That's good. Let's do that.
Right now we have Jeannie Ives. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me
on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I just can't wait to see the debate. When is the debate?
Well, let's do it tomorrow. Let's debate every day.
Has anyone come to you and said there should be a debate, a Republican debate?
Well, you know, the media certainly wants a Republican debate, and Governor Rauner isn't interested in debating me, but we're going to make sure that he gets that opportunity.
Where should we do it? Because I'm writing the column now, so where should we have the debate?
Can we do it right here on your radio station?
No, we should have
We should have like a stand-up debate.
That's great.
And real debate.
Yes.
Not this,
mutual press conference.
No, I don't like the reporters ask questions and they all got buzzed up by some political consultant beforehand. You know, I want issues, one moderator, like classic style, right? Like they do. Are you tough enough to handle that?
Listen, I think the issues are really important to discuss, and I have a big depth of knowledge that I'd like to get out to people.
I think that Governor Rauner is in serious trouble, and
yeah.
I've known that since before you began this campaign. Good luck, Jeannie Ives.
Thank you.
This has been John Cass, Jeff Carlin, Gene Ives, and Scott Stannis, who's been sketching away over here. It's been another edition of the Chicago Way. Remember, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer isn't a racist, and if St. Nicholas could come back, he'd really smack you one if you said that.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. And a special thank you to John Cass for his interview with Representative Jeannie Ives. You can find his columns in the Chicago Tribune and his Chicago Way podcast at WGNradio.com. And this note, printed and online versions of Illinois Family Institute voter guides will soon be ready for the March primary election. So be sure to visit IllinoisFamily.org for updates on their availability. Till next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.